Let the name of the Lord be glorified. Let me first introduce myself. My name is Aju Ipan, as you heard. And my wife, Susan Ipan, she's way at the back there. And we are visiting our parents. That's Thomas Ipan and Molly Ipan. And my brother is Georgie Ipan. Even though he looks younger to me, he's much older than me. Anyway, today I would like to share a few thoughts from the book of Leviticus in relation to worshiping God. So let's turn our Bible to Leviticus chapter 1. We'll read just two verses. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. Now there are different types of offerings we read in the Bible. Firstly, we see a victim in paradise, in the skin of which Adam and Eve were clothed by God, by the hands of God. Again, we see Abel's offering. And again, we see a long sequence of sacrifices through the following ages. Now, all these things, all these offerings shows the shadow of the Calvary's cross. To give a short introduction about this book, firstly, Leviticus is a book in the Bible where God has spoken to man so the most. There's no other book in the Bible where it's mentioned God has spoken to man the most. Secondly, this book is written for believers, not for a person who is not born again. God, as we read, God spoke these things to the children of Israel, who are his own people, or who are believers. So God has opened his heart here and spoke to his own people what is in his heart. So this book is very important for us believers today, as God speaks to us even today. The third point is, this is a book where God pictures his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in all the offerings that we read. Today we could learn a lot about worshiping our God through this book of Leviticus. Now, as we all know, there are five offerings we read in Leviticus, and there is specialty even in the order God listed. Firstly, we read about burnt offering. Second, meal offering. Third, peace offering. Fourth, trespass offering. Fourth is sin offering, and fifth is trespass offering. Let's look at the first one, burnt offering. Burnt offering is a continual offering in Israel, both morning and evening. And all other offerings are offered on top of the burnt offering. The name burnt offering is because it's continually burned and fully burned on the altar. And this burnt offering shows the picture of Christ in relation to his Father, who offered himself without spot, who completely submitted unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's the first offering that we read, and the first thing God shows us. Secondly, we read about the meal offering. It shows the picture of Christ's perfect life in this earth. Man is fallen, and we all need a substitute one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. Thirdly, we read about peace offering, which shows the picture of the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ brought for us. In Christ, God and sinners meet in peace, because man alienated from God and needs reconciliation. Fourth, sin offering. It shows the picture of Christ who became sin for us. Man is a sinner and needs an atoning sacrifice. Fifth, trespass offering shows Christ who became trespass for us. Man is a guilty transgressor and needs forgiveness. Now that's the order we read in the Word of God. Now another thing to note here is, when a sinner approaches God, he goes in the opposite order. Firstly, while we were sinners, first of all, we came close to God by agreeing that we are guilty and needs forgiveness. That's a trespass offering. Then he understands about Christ who became a sin offering for us. Then he gets peace from God when he is born again. Then he learns and understands Christ's perfect life in this earth, which is meal offering. And remembers Christ who became a burnt offering. That is, he offered himself without spot, like we remember this morning. So when a sinner comes to God, he comes in the other order which is listed. But God showed Christ in the other order, that is from the burnt offering down to sin and trespass offering. Now another point to notice, the first two offering, that is the burnt offering and the meal offering, it shows Christ's perfection. But the other two, the last two offering, that is sin and trespass offering, it shows man's imperfection. Now let's note the offering which is in the middle, that is the peace offering. As we heard this morning, who can fill that gap? Christ is between perfection and imperfection. He is in the middle to establish peace between holy God and fallen man. Let's look at verse 2. As mentioned earlier, this book is for believers, it's not for sinners. As we know, what sinner needs is a savior. But what a believer needs is to come close to his savior and worship him. And that should be our desire. Verse 2, we read that, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. God is not compelling anyone to bring an offering, but he is giving a counsel. If you are bringing an offering, then bring the way I commanded. A believer should not come to worship God in any way he like. For example, it was Mother's Day last week. I decided to buy something very weird. Let's say I bought a baseball bat and gave it to my mom. What will happen? She won't give value to my gift because she does not like baseball. But if I buy a beautiful handbag, she will value it. God is saying the same thing here. I am dwelling with you, and if you are bringing an offering to me, bring something that pleases me or something that satisfies me. God did not compel anyone to bring an offering, but if you are bringing an offering, then bring as I commanded you. Now, when we come to the New Testament, how are we supposed to worship? Let's read a verse from John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God won't receive worship if we worship him in any way we like. True worshippers in New Testament must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeks such worshippers. In the Old Testament, we read the same thing. If you are offering, then do this way. There are many kinds of worship we see around. I'm not going in detail on those types of worship. But the question to be asked is it acceptable to God? Another truth about the worship is, if God is not pleased in the person who worships, God won't be pleased in what he brings to worship. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. There we read two people who offered sacrifices to God. There we read that, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. God was not pleased in Cain, so he was not pleased in what he offered. But God was pleased in Abel, so he was pleased in what Abel offered. So what can we learn from here? Today, if I offer something to God, and if God is not pleased in me, then he won't be pleased in what I offer. So God should be pleased in me first. My life should be a holy one. My life should be pleasing to God. That's when he'll be pleased with my worship or what I offer. So three important things that we learned about worship here is, firstly, God accepts worship only from his people. Second, his people must offer the way he commanded. That's when it will be pleasing to him. Thirdly, God must be pleased in the person who offers. That's when he'll be pleased by our offering. Let's look at another example. In Malachi, we read that Israel started offering things that are not pleasing to God. What did God tell when they brought things which are not pleasing to God, as he commanded? Lord already told Israel in detail how to bring an offering. But sadly, they started to offer things that are not pleasing to God. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Let's read that. Malachi chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. God told them clearly that if you are offering, you should offer perfectly. You should not bring the lame and the sick. But years have passed. Now they started to bring the lame and the sick to God, to offer to God, which nobody wants. The perfect ones they might have sold in the market. God now asks them in verse 8 this question, give one of that sick or lame to your governor. Will he accept it? If he doesn't accept, how can you expect me to accept it? How can I be gracious to you? That's what the Lord asked here. So God was not pleased at all by their offering. Let's again read verse 10 of the same chapter, Malachi 1. Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught? I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. God is saying here, isn't there anyone to shut the door of the temple so that they don't come to offer? Why did he say that? God was not pleased in their offering. Not only God is not pleased by their offering, but they are inviting curse to themselves. Let's read another portion in relation to this from Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 5 to 8. We'll be reading a few verses now. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Not only God said, I won't be pleased by that offering, but he said it will be abominable. That's why God said, can someone shut the door of the temple so that they don't offer things that are not, that are unacceptable? Now, let's look at the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. This is again in relation to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 reads, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Paul says the same thing here, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. So when saints gather together to worship, it can be for worse. That's why Paul warns here, the same thing, the same warning that we see in the Old Testament. Let's also read verse 27 and 29. 27 reads, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So God teaches us these things and warns us. These are the things that we find in the first two verses of Leviticus chapter 1, before even he detail or talks about the offering. If you are offering, then offer the way I will be pleased. In relation to us in New Testament, God teaches us the same thing. We should not worship God in any way we like. God's words tell us clearly how a born-again believer should worship God. We must worship God in truth and in spirit. And that's the kind of people God seeks. When we come to worship, God must be pleased in my life first. Worship is not just spending some time with the believer Sunday morning. We must offer our life every day of the week as a price for worship. If God is pleased by my life in the last 1 week, he will be pleased by my worship. If we have done some mistake, we must ask for forgiveness and correct ourselves before we come to worship. A true worshiper brings blessing. That's what we learn in the first two verses of Leviticus 1. Now, another point to note in verse 2 is, the second part, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Now, another point to note is, they could have brought any animals to offer. They could have easily found an animal in the wild and bring it to offer. The country that I come from in Botswana, we find a lot of cattle walking on the main road. And it's very common. So I could have just picked one of any size that I want. I could just pick and bring for the offering. But God does not accept that. God clearly says here is, if you bring the cattle from your herd and flock that you brought up in your home. Let's look that in detail. For them to offer to God, it first starts at his home. From his home, he picks up a cattle to offer. So the offering starts from their home. In other words, he has to pay a price for it because it's an animal they fed and brought up. They labored and spent money on that cattle. It could be very precious to them. I've been reminded of something that happened a week before I came. We had around 5 dogs at home, in our home. And a week ago before we came, we had a burglary attempt. And two small dogs, they're at the front yard. And two of them is at the back. They don't have access to come to the front. But there's a little one, a tiny little dog of this size. Her name is Buttons, and she always sleeps in our bedroom. And because she's the precious dog for us, among all the other dogs. And she always follows my wife wherever she goes, left, right, center, everywhere. Now, when the thieves attempted to get in our house, they put some poison, and they killed the small 2 dogs in the front. And we woke up that Saturday morning, and my wife let Buttons go out for the wee-wee thing. And within a few seconds, she opened the kitchen door again, and only to find that she's dead on the floor, because she went and ate the same poison. So it was very sad for us. We almost cried for a week, because that animal was so precious to us. Anyway, I'm also reminded of what could have gone through our father when his only begotten son was bruised, crushed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But there was no answer to that cry. That's how precious we are in his sight. It was in order to redeem us from our sins. Anyway, so something precious, something, a best animal they have, that's what they bring to worship into God's presence. So what is God saying here? If you want to worship me truly, you must pay a price behind it. One may think that New Testament worship is so easy. It's the easiest worship compared to the Old Testament worship we read about the animals and all. Something that there's no price to be paid in the New Testament worship. But we may think that Sunday morning, just pick up the Bible and come to the chapel to worship, and we are done, and we go back to the normal routine. But what we learn here is, if we worship, before we worship, we must pay a price behind it. We must pay our time for it. We must meditate upon the Word of God. We should remember about our Christ who died for us. Then we discipline our life accordingly. And then we prepare and come to worship. So the point here to learn is, there is a price that I have to pay behind it before, in order to worship Him in an acceptable way to God. Now, regarding paying the price for our offering, let's read a verse from 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22 and 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22 to 24. And Arauna said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arauna as a king give unto the king. And Arauna said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Here we read that when David was given free oxen and other things for the offering by Arauna, David could have used that easily and offered to God. Not the words of David in verse 24. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. David knew that I must pay a price behind it. I will pay a price before I offer to God. That's a great lesson we learn here. So in Leviticus we see God tells Jews how to worship Him or offer to God in an acceptable way. So four important things we learn so far is, firstly, God accepts worship only from His people. Secondly, His people must offer the way He commanded. That's when it will be pleasing to God. Third point, God must be pleased in the person who offers worship. That's when He'll be pleased by our offering. Fourth point, I must pay a price before I offer to God. That is, prepare my life, meditate upon the word, and bring thoughts about Jesus Christ. Now, another point to note here. Whatever was offered in the altar, as God commanded, was pleasing to God. It is burned, and the incense rose up to heaven. And God was pleased by the sweet smelling. Now, if you learn more about these offerings, whatever God asked to offer on the altar, everything represents Christ. Everything that was offered, those five offerings that we read, pictures Christ. And everything became sweet-smelling when things that pictures Christ was offered on the altar. In New Testament, today, what is pleasing and acceptable worship to God? There are many kinds of worship we see around. Some only songs, some are just musical instruments. I even read somewhere some churches hire worship pastors so that they can worship. Yeah, that's not the real worship. Worship means they offer things that pictures Christ on the altar. In New Testament, let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Note this verse. By Him, by whom? By the Lord. Let us offer, giving thanks to His name. Whose name? The Lord's name. So our Lord Jesus Christ is the center of our worship today. Now whatever was offered in the Old Testament was the shadow of the good things to come. Today true worshipers come close to worship by Him, giving thanks to His name by the fruits of our lips. It originates in our heart. When we think and meditate about Christ, it comes out as worship through our lips. Christ is the center of our worship today. By Him, we offer sacrifices of praise to God. When we learn about all these five offerings, we could offer a more pleasing sacrifice to God. In Old Testament, when priest offers sacrifices of earthly animal, when we come to the New Testament, we bring Christ viewing and meditating from different angles and bring for worship. So four important things. God accepts worship only from His people. Secondly, His people must offer the way He commanded. That's when it will be pleasing to God. Thirdly, God must be pleased in the person who offers worship. That's when He'll be pleased by our offering. Fourth, I must pay a price before I offer to God. That is, prepare my life, meditate upon His word, and bring thoughts about Jesus Christ. May God help each one of us in days to come to offer a more pleasing sacrifice to God. If there is anyone who is hearing me who is not yet saved, remember the perfect sacrifice our Lord Jesus Christ offered for us. He died on the cross, taking our sins and punishments. He didn't leave anything behind, but he offered himself fully, and he finished the work needed for our salvation. And God the Father was pleased by his offering, by his sacrifice. Any sinner can now trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God help each one of us. Let us bow down and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to thy holy presence this evening time. We thank thee for the wonderful time we had in the morning to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank thee for blessing the ministry meeting and the Sunday school ministry. We thank thee for Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come down to this wicked world. He left all his glory in heaven and came down for us. And he died, suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. His meat was to do the will of the Father. And he did everything that is pleasing to God. He became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. And Father was pleased by his offering, by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He bled and died for our sins. He was crushed for our judgment. We thank thee, Father, for such a wonderful Savior, such a wonderful salvation that you opened for us. Though we were not worthy of all this, you made us worthy through thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the perfect sacrifice that was offered for us. He shed his precious blood without blemish and spot. We thank thee for that perfect sacrifice once again. We ask thee to bless each one of us gathered here. And in days to come, help us to offer you a more pleasing sacrifice of praises unto thee. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon thy word day and night, and to bring thoughts about our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, the beauties of Christ that we read in thy word, and to offer unto thee on the altar through the fruits of our lips. Bless each one of us once again. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Before we go, perhaps we could turn in our hymn books to number 385. 385, as we close our time together, let's sing together. 385.